Hello and welcome back to the Great Scott Podcast. Today I'm joined by an absolute legend, Mr. Bob Lilly, who's 11-time Pro Bowler. He's in not one but two Hall of Fames for the pro football and the college. And then he also played 14 seasons total, all with the exact same team, the Dallas Cowboys. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy himself.
Well, hello. It's a pleasure being on your program.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Bob. First off, I want to just say it's absolutely amazing, your career. You were definitely a very ferocious player. I think that might be a good way to describe it. But I want to start out in 1967. That was both probably not a good year, but you – had played in a game that you'll never forget that happened in 1967.
In 1957 or 67?
67, the Ice Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that was Green Bay. Yes, you're right about that. That was, we were playing that game just to see who was going to go to the Super Bowl.
That's right, yeah. The Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken, had just been announced as a team about, I think, 7 years ago. So they were pretty new.
That's right.
So,
we were, that game is one that you would never forget if you were there.
Yeah, I want that.
The day before it was 18 degrees and it was still, it wasn't blowing. And it was, they had a heater built in under the field, a coil. Copper coil Lombardi had done, and it circulated warm water, and the field was really pretty, and it was very nice. It was nice. It would have been a perfect day to play. And the next morning we get up, and George Andrew went down and went outside, and then he came back up. He didn't say anything. He was my roommate, and we were staying just out in Appleton, I believe, and he got a glass of water, and he went over and threw it on the on our big window, and it froze. Most of it froze on the way down the window. He said, Bob, it's going to be cold up here. And he said, most of our guys aren't used to this. And I said, well, George, I didn't grow up in Marquette, Michigan. And I said, I grew up in Texas. And he said, oh, yeah, that's right. And he said, well, we need to set an example. Let's go out when we go warm up later on. And just wear our jerseys and our, we'll put on a T-shirt underneath and maybe a pair of long hands, and we'll go out there. And so we did that. And about 15 minutes later, we asked Ernie Stoutner, our coach, said, can we go in and put on some heavier clothes?
Wow. Yeah.
And he said, well, we're not going to wear gloves. He said, that's a no-no. Mm. He said, we're tough. And Ernie was he's in the Hall of Fame himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a Marine. And so anyway, we go back out there, and we're looking closely at Green Bay. They've got on gloves. Some of them are kind of brownish colored, and some of them are kind of white colored. And they had on turtlenecks, and it looked like some of them, when they took their helmet off, had on a kind of a hoodie, a little head cover.
Yeah.
And, well, all we had was two blowers on either end. They're probably 12 inches diameter blowing, and the photographers hogged that because the film kept breaking.
Mm.
And so anyway, we almost froze to death, but we stayed in the game, and it boiled down, I think, to the last minute or so, maybe the last few seconds. When they scored, when Bart Starr ran a quarterback sneak right up the middle,
yeah.
We were standing in that quadrant. The copper pipe under the field that was warming the field broke, and it seeped up pretty near the top, and it had turned into just like a block of ice.
Mm.
And so neither of us, either side, could hardly stand up, because we had on regular cleats. In fact, I had changed my cleats to soccer type shoes at halftime. And it gave me much better, I tried to talk all my guys into doing that, much better traction. But the last play that mattered was when they scored. And it was, I think it was fourth down, and it was about 2 yards, 2.5 yards. And I think Coach Lombardi had called for a handoff to Chuck Mercine, who was a fullback, running back, that had come, I think, from New York. And he was ideal for that game. He was short and stocky and had good balance. And he seemed to be the runner they preferred to go to that day. But on the last minute, Bart decided he was going to do a quarterback sneak.
Mm.
And so Chuck Mercine picked that up pretty quick and hit him right in the rear, which is illegal, and knocked him on across the line. And so anyway, we were beat. We had no time to do anything, and we had come back once or twice already in the game, and it was a rugged game. But anyway, I went to Pro Bowl that particular year, and we went the week prior to the – no, we went the 2 days prior to the Super Bowl, which was a week prior to the All-Star game. And so we got to go watch the game, and we watched Lombardi's team take Kansas City apart. And I'm thinking that Kansas City was at one time they were the Dallas Texans. They had drafted me number two, and the Cowboys had drafted me number one. And AJ Hollab was an All American from Tech, and the Texans drafted him number one, and the Cowboys and me number two. And so he went with the Texans, and here he was out there playing middle linebacker. And here I am out there watching the game. I'm thinking maybe I made a mistake, but as it turned out, it worked out, and Kansas City still got the same owners, and they've done very well up in Kansas City.
Absolutely, that's where I'm at, is Kansas City.
Yep, absolutely.
Have you ever seen a quarterback like side arm a football before to like his guy? Like Patrick Mahomes does to Travis Kelce?
No. He can do a forward lateral. I mean, or without pulling his arm back at all, or he can do an underarm side pass, and he can do it quickly. I mean, he does it stink so quick, and he can actually get the ball where he's aiming.
I know. That's.
I think it's almost like a magician.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching them play.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about your Super Bowls. I know you guys had missed the Super Bowl that year in 1967, but then Super Bowl V comes around and you guys make it again. But unfortunately, the desired outcome didn't happen. You guys, I think, had lost in the last period on a field goal. And you had thrown your helmet about 50 yards in frustration. So when you guys got back to the Super Bowl like that, and you guys didn't win, did you ever think that, okay, this is just never going to happen for us?
No. First of all, we had the ball on about the 1 or 2 yard line, and there was a fumble between Craig Martin and Dave Manders. And Dave Manders picked the ball up. Whenever they got up off the ground, he had the ball, but they gave them the ball. That's one thing that teed me off a little bit. And then when the game was over, I was so frustrated that I tossed my helmet and a young Green Bay Packer player brought my helmet over to me and said, "Mr. Lilly, here's your helmet." I said, "Young man, I'm sorry. That was a very sorry example of throwing my helmet." But he said, "I don't blame you."
Yeah.
So Anyway, what was the rest of the question?
No, but so my question was, when you guys got back to there and you guys came so close to winning that Super Bowl and you didn't, I know that you guys the next year went to the Super Bowl, but in Super Bowl V, when you had lost that, did you ever think, okay, that we're just never going to win this? Like, something's wrong here. We're just not
no.
Not
the team. No. Just the opposite. After the game was over, we asked the coaches to leave, and we got up, and Ditka and several of us, and we shouted and screamed, when we get back to Dallas, we're going to start. We're going to give ourselves a week, and then we're going to start working out. And we're going to work out with one thing on our mind, and that is going to the Super Bowl this coming year and winning it. And that's what we did. We came back and we worked out. I've never seen people work out like we did that year. And, I mean, we were doing cross country, playing racquetball, hitting the sled, pushing the sled, lifting weights. I mean, everything you could imagine, and studying film, and it paid off. And unfortunately, after we won the Super Bowl, we didn't do it again. We didn't put the effort that we did that year.
Yeah, I was going to say that was your only Super Bowl in your 14 seasons playing that you won, but it could have been so much more with the talent you guys had on the team.
Yeah, we had a lot of transition. Pardon me, with our quarterback situation, we had quite a few transitions, and I think, you know, Craig was a good quarterback, but he wasn't real nimble as far as agility-wise, and of course, Roger came, and he actually was the one that won that game, but the game before that, Craig was the starter. And then Roger led him on to some others, but the rest of my career we'd get in the playoffs, but we wouldn't get to the Super Bowl. And it was kind of disappointing after being there a couple of times and then not going back. But that was getting toward the end of my career anyway.
And I want to say, you, like I said, you're a very tough football player because you played in, I think, 196 straight games in your career.
I played in every game except one playoff game.
Because you had an injury then against the Vikings.
I tore my hamstring into it. I've got a picture of it that will make you want to throw up. my wife took a picture of me with my shorts on, and I was on my stomach, and blood was running down into my calf, and they finally had to take some blood off my heel. But anyway, I still got a hole there, but I did work out really, really hard, especially on the curls, lifting, you know, the weights. And I got it back. I think it was 90 something pounds with one leg, which was pretty big on a curl when you're sitting there and you have to pull your leg, put your leg out and pull it down. And so I built my muscle back up and really didn't lose a whole lot. In fact, Coach Landry came over to my house many times during the off season and wanted me to come back my 15th year. And I think I was mentally just worn out.
Yeah. Off them.
And most of my buddies that I played with so many years were gone, and it just wasn't the same.
No, right, absolutely. And so you had mentioned you worked so hard, like you said, to get to that Super Bowl to win, and you guys won it. But you were quoted as also saying that the day after was a very empty feeling because you had worked so hard to get there. But then the day after, now what? I mean, so you got to what you wanted, but
we should have had another meeting right after that game, and just like we did the year before, and started shouting at each other and set it up where we were going to start working out just like we had done before. And I think if we had have done that, we probably could have won. We could have, because, you know, Roger would have been in his he would have been experienced, and mm-hmm. We would have had a good quarterback, still had a good receiver, still had pretty much good people. But anyway, we didn't do it. And I think that probably, maybe that's normal. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be with Kansas City.
No, I mean, when you look back, I mean, I don't want to, like, look, I mean, does it still make you frustrated to know what could have been had you guys put in the work more?
Yeah, if we didn't, I think there, you know, there was, we had quite a few quarterback changes. And
yeah.
Roger probably, if he had have spent the 4 years that he's had active duty in the Navy after going to Annapolis, if he had have been there, we probably would have, had a few more, because he was a kind of a general on the field, and a general. He's one of the nicest people in the world, but I mean, he had authority.
Yes.
He knew what authority was, and anyway, but he spent 4 years in the Navy and still came back and played 11 years, which I'd take my hat off.
And Roger is also a Heisman Trophy winner as well.
He sure is.
With the Navy.
He's a very, very nice person, very benevolent, very nice.
And so you also were saying how Tom Landry came in one day, or maybe he did this quite often, said that he mentioned his priorities in life: God, family, and football. And you thought that maybe he had his priorities wrong there.
Well, that was my rookie year. I was a rookie, and I was the first draft pick that they'd ever had, which I didn't think anything about. I didn't even know what the heck it was, really. But I was among a bunch of older guys that had been around the league. In fact, they picked the team the first year from players that the other NFL team put up in a pool. Like, they put up four players, Cowboys could pick two. And that's how they did. They didn't have a draft. And so anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. Where were we?
No. So you were saying how you, or rather Coach Landry had mentioned his values in life: God, family, and friends.
Well, this is what happened. That was my first meeting, and we were out there. Wasn't my first meeting. We went out 2 weeks prior to the veterans coming, and we went through 1 week or 2 days, and then we went. And then when the veterans came, we went through a couple more weeks or 2 days. But when the veterans came, he stood up there because he had picked up some, you know, new players, and so we had our meeting, and he said he had his book out. It was about a 2-inch thick rule book, and he started. He told us, he said, "Now I'm going to go through this book. This is going to be our meeting today and tonight. Maybe it'll take another day, but I want you all to clearly understand when I read you these things that this is where I stand." He said, "But first of all, my priorities in life are not what you think they are." He said, "My priorities in life are God, family, and then football."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "But I spend half my time in football."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Here are the fine," you know, he gave us a fine schedule. 50, if you weren't in your seat when he came in to call roll, it was $50, and it doubled every time. And they took that out of your laundry check or whatever you had. And if you were late, that went all the way through the season. And if you were late in training camp for bed check, it was $100. If you weren't in bed with the lights out by 11 o'clock, it was $100, and it doubled. If you were a pound overweight, it was $15, and that doubled. And so I have another good story about that. People kept getting fined, and something like Willie Towns couldn't stop eating pizzas. So he was up. I think half his salary went to fines for weight, because it was $15 a pound for every pound you're overweight when you weigh in. And so you never knew what day you were going to weigh in. And so anyway, it doubled. And it was really getting up there for Willie. And he was one of the nicest people. Could have been a tremendous player. But so anyway, he read off all of all of the real miss there. If you missed your flight, if you missed a team fly out of town, other than having a wreck or, you know, going to the hospital or something like that, it cost $1,000, I think, what it was. $1,500. That was a whole lot of money because my first year I made $11,500, and that was a good salary. Some of the guys were playing for $7,000.
They had a lot of faith in you then.
Well, they just, you know, back then it just wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah,
They could have probably paid a little more, but I think our team was always kind of borderline as far as they couldn't get, you know, they didn't have the big TV money and they did not have big crowds until we started, we had a good team and then it started filling up the stadium.
I think that, I'm sure that you might agree with what I'm about to say, that football has become more commercialized now from what you're talking about from your days of playing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a lot more commercialized. I mean, it's like everywhere you go. I'm not too far from the grocery stores and different businesses. That some of them, Jerry charges some of these chains. They want to have a lot of cowboy stuff in there, and they want to have cowboy posters and all that. And so anyway, they belong to the cowboy club. And one of them was a chiropractor that I went to that did most of the cowboys' work. And he said, you know, I don't really make any money on you guys. He said, they charged me $75,000 to advertise Cowboys Chiropractor, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then the money, I mean, I'm thinking what they're paying these players, our whole team could have gone 2 years.
I agree with you. And so going off of football now, after your football career, you had a passion, and I'm sure it was your passion as well when you were playing football, but you found, if I can say the word, photography, there we go, to be very relaxing and enjoyable to you because you would always take photographs wherever you went, and then eventually you had your own book, The Bob Lilly Reflections.
Yeah, that's a book I did of my teammates, but I started taking pictures my senior year in college. I made several of the All-American teams. One of them was the Kodak Coaches All-American team, and that was, we were on the Ed Sullivan Show, and that's where I met Ditka and some of the other guys. But they gave us each a 35-millimeter camera that was made in Germany, had a German lens on it. And they gave us 200 rolls of film, 100 rolls of color, 100 rolls of black and white. And they gave us prepaid mailers for all the film. So we could send that in, and Kodak would send us back the prints, 4x6 prints, and the negatives developed and all in sleeves. And so I've still got a lot of that stuff. And so that got me started. I started using that little camera, and I started taking pictures even back way back. And then I didn't have a dark, but a black and white dark room was pretty easy. You could just rig one up and put a piece of plywood over your half your bathtub and put your trays over there and put a red light in there so it wouldn't cause the prints to darken, and have a paper tray. And then I took where the curtain is. I had a cable there. I just slid it all the way over and hung them. I drilled holes through the clothespins.
Sure, yeah.
I drilled holes and ran them up there, and then I would just hang the picture up there to dry by the corner.
Okay.
And so I started printing pictures. My teammates, a lot of them have told me that if it hadn't been for me, they never would have had pictures. And I continued up the ladder. I went from there to Nikon, to Leica, Hasselblad. Then I got a 4x5. I had all those and lenses for them. And I started going, you know, I started reading the Ansel Adams books and other great photographers. And So I've been all over the West and taking pictures. I probably got, I don't even know, 2,000 or 3,000 pictures on DVDs where I bought a high-end scanner and scanned the 10 1/4 negatives and the Hasselblad negative, I mean, the 4x5 negatives and some of the 35 because I wanted to keep those.
Sure.
And anyway, I've got boxes of pictures. I go through them. They're still good. I mean, they're still hadn't faded or anything. They're about 50 or 60 years old.
Wow. So I have one more question for you, Bob. And some people may not know this, but did you guys do some singing as well? Did Coach Landry get you to guys do some singing, like create a singing album?
Create a what?
So did you guys ever do any singing? Because I heard that you guys created an album, like a singing album. You guys would sing.
Some of the guys did.
Yeah,
but as you can tell by my voice, although I'm hoarse right now, but I wasn't involved in the singing.
Oh, gotcha.
I was just involved in the listening after it was done.
No, I can understand that. Yeah,
we had. I'll tell you where the singing was too. When I was a rookie, and for the next 4 or 5 years, 6 years, the veterans made me get up and sing my college song, and yeah, everybody had to get up, and then they started allowing us to sing. We could sing a musical song. I mean, a song that had been recorded, and we had some singers, some guys on the team that could really sing well, but I wasn't one of them. So I stuck with my school song.
I can understand that. Yes, absolutely. I know with Christmas coming up, I think it was a Christmas songs that they did primarily.
Yeah, well, some of the guys had real good voices, and I think they did. They did cut some records.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time, sir. It was a pleasure to meet you. God bless you, sir. And thank you so much for your time. And like I said, so it was a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. And God bless you. And anyway, cheer the Cowboys on to something.
Yeah. I know that the last game against the Lions was not pretty.
Oh, it was not.
No.
It didn't look great. I'm really worried about them, but hopefully it'll work out.
Absolutely. Things always have a way of working out. But so thank you, Bob.
You bet. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.